from the arc. Thompson looks good, looks great. He'll love that. And the Lions love that.
Anderson, usually good by foot. That's precision at its very best.
Only six goals total from this past six games, but Hot Charlie is a completely different Charlie. King on his lonesome somehow.
Now McPherson, he's lighting up, and he gobbles up a goal. They're irresistible at the moment, these Gold Coast Suns.
And Hipwood puts it into the purple, straight through the middle.
He gave it straight back to Miller. And King launches from right behind, up over the top of Archie.
He's just been everywhere, everywhere, right place, right time. Oh, how's that kick? Lace out the swallow for the knockout blow. Farrah takes off. Eat my dust.
The Brisbane Lions fancast is back after a horror weekend of footy, not just for us, but for a bunch of, I guess, favourite teams across the weekend. I don't know about your footy tips, but mine are absolutely cocked up after the week. Before we get into just how inept the Brisbane Lions were, I do want to give a shout out to the Suns because they played some fantastic footy. They definitely wanted to win that game much more. They outplayed, outworked, outhunted, and outcoached us the entire game. So before we, I mean, this is obviously a Brisbane Lions based fan cast and we will get to the Lions, but I did want to give a shout out to the Suns because I think they played the footy in the right way and obviously deserved the win that they got. So there you go. There's my little nice bit for the Suns. On to the horror show that it is with JB and Patrick. Mate, how did you find the game from your cold little Victorian home?
Not good, obviously. Not good. And ominous pretty early on that things were going to be not good. Very much a Port Adelaide and Hawthorn style game. It's great. We love that, don't we?
Always a good feeling after it all wraps up. I thought it was eerily similar to the first Q clash this year where the Suns were playing the better footy, but somehow we went into quarter time break with a lead, sticking with them at halftime, even though like that second quarter they really put the foot down and we were within 3 points, and we were very lucky to be within 3 points at halftime. And then for some reason, Noah Anderson was just allowed to run around and do whatever he liked, and so was Ben King, and that's all she wrote at the end of the day. 41-point loss to the Suns. A lot of players will be doing soul-searching this week after they got shown up in a lot of different ways. But let's go back to the beginning, as we always do. Obviously, Will Ashcroft, the out. No discernible ins. Kai Lohman moves from the sub to the starting 18, or Kai Lauman, if you're Kelly Underwood. And in comes Jimmy Tunstall for the sub, which I know raised a few eyebrows. What did you make of the changes?
Well, I guess in terms of like having no discernible ins was basically like, what are we going to do to counter for this loss of our golden boy first year player? The answer is to do nothing. Not so much just in a like personnel side, but like we kind of didn't really do anything.
Yeah, Zorko spent a few more minutes in the midfield, as did Rayner, but it didn't necessarily have the effects that we wanted to, obviously. I think Bailey coming back next week will sort of help that a little bit, but as most people sort of forecast, and a lot of people are screaming at the moment, I mean, the choice was obvious, either Jared Lyons or Dev Robertson to come in, a like-for-like switch, and I would imagine and I would hope that is the case this week as we head over to Perth.
Yeah, Jimmy Tunstall as the sub was kind of like when you looked at the four emergencies, it seemed to make the most sense. But
I felt for sure JL was going to get that gig.
Yeah, I know. But the level of kind of inaction on even just the selection was kind of, I don't know, the writing was on the wall pretty early on. So I thought, like, if overall, I thought things were generally done in a pretty arrogant manner. I think the team thought they were just going to cakewalk that, like, you know, the Suns not playing particularly well last week and being down a coach and being kind of in a period of flux. Yeah, that selection strikes me as like pretty arrogant, to be honest.
Yeah, there was definitely a touch of arrogance about that whole performance. As you mentioned, that we sort of thought we were going to wander down the M1. Yes, the criticism is there of the Lions that we can't win away from the Gabba, but surely we can just drive down the M1 and notch a win against the 14th place Suns. Not the case. Not the case at all. And I thought speaking of no coach, I thought, you know, Stephen King did a great job over the weekend. He put together a game plan that absolutely made us fold, go into our shells, and they walked away with an 8-goal win. So, well done.
Yeah, he did some good writing about us.
Hmm. Once again, absolutely stiffed in the comm box with Dwayne Russell and Kelly, can't remember anyone's bloody name, Underwood. So that made the viewing experience just all that much worse.
Yeah, they don't really get a good read of the old Queensland kind of dynamic, I feel. If you got some random rugby punter that's just like, oh yeah, I'll just check out two Queensland teams going at it. I don't think it would be overly well received, and that's not to say that it's not reinforcing kind of a bit of a old dragon stereotype in that, but read the room, AFL. Like, and also, it's just the fact that they're commentating from Melbourne, so like they can't see anything, they're not doing anything. She made like 6 to 11 mistakes in the first quarter.
Honestly, like, without completely just dragging Kelly Underwood through the mud, I honestly do not understand how she keeps getting a gig, because she regularly, week in, week out, gets names wrong. Gets teams wrong. Like, literally, she called GWS the orange team because she couldn't fucking remember what they were called. And it's like, in any other workplace, okay, if you're underperforming, you'd at least get a stern talking to, but evidently not.
Oh, it was a great, great win by the Gold Coast Lions in the end of it, I suppose. So,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I don't know. Dwayne's not that much better. Like, he's fine, but I don't know. It's just not a good combo, that.
Maybe we're projecting and taking away from the real pain that is yet another disappointment from our beloved Lions. Anytime, you know, this year I've sort of believed in us more than I have over the last 4 years, but anytime I sort of start to believe, I get roundhouse kick to the face with a display like that, and then you think, you know what, why do I even bother? This team's never going to win a flag.
It does feel a little bit like that sometimes, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I know, once again, I know it's easy to overreact after a loss, and then who knows, we might go over to Perth next week and blitz them, and this will just be another memory, but my goodness. My goodness gracious, what was that?
That was garbage. That was, yeah, I said before, arrogance. It just seemed like the team weren't ready to work, and like, Gold Coast probably were in a situation where they didn't need to be sacking Stewie Jew sort of based on performance. Like, maybe, like, it's, I don't know, where am I? what day of the week is this?
Once again, I do think the Suns played really well. Like, their pressure was up all game. It didn't drop off. You know, even at halftime when we were in with a, you know, 3-point deficit, I thought, you know what, there's still time for us to pull our finger out, turn it on, and walk away with a, you know, a reasonably healthy win, anywhere between sort of 4 and 6 goals. But it just never happened. And the Suns just held the foot down the entire game and walked away with a well-deserved win. You know, played Ben King back into some form. Took played out of his skin. Noah Anderson. Yeah, they had just contributors all over the ground, whereas we had very, very few.
Yeah, it was one of those ones where just every single player they needed to have stood up, because I think they probably, like, sensed the occasion. Only one team played as if that was like a derby.
Yeah.
So, or you know, a local rivalry sort of thing. Like, and they, you know, they played across the park like it meant something. They were getting stuck in. They were trying to make us uncomfortable. And that was just sort of symptomatic in a lot of the, like, selection decisions. The players who played well, obviously. But, like, why? We've seen, like, in the past when, like, you know, what did they say? We hadn't lost to them in 9 years or whatever. Or not 9 years, nine games.
9 games, 5 years, yeah.
And it's like, yeah, the one earlier on this year, to me, was like a bit of an exception to most of the other games we've played, which have been, like, kind of heated and pretty brutal in terms of just, like, you know, putting them in their place, or, like, quite a bit of heat, definitely early on in the Fagan do rivalry. You know, some chat from, like, Nick Robbo and, you know, carry on by, like, Matho and stuff like that. Like, there was, like, kind of legitimate heat there, but they didn't seem like there was any heat. It just seemed like it was sort of, we treated them as if they were beneath us, and their work rate kind of really got them up and about. But, yeah, we were leading at quarter time, but, like, well, Lockie Neal had 2 touches. Anderson had a million. King had kicked a few goals, given that he couldn't... Well, some of the stuff from him from last week was so funny. Him just trying to, like, ghost out of being a footballer whilst on the field inside 50. And, yeah, Ballard and that kind of, like, weird kind of hairy dude fullback, Collins, maybe?
Yeah, and he's 100th, yeah. So, like I said, they contributors all over the ground. Like, their key backs held up, their key forwards played their role. Ainsworth, you know, chimed in when needed, especially at the end where he slotted a few goals from around the 50 mark. And we just didn't.
Yeah. And realistically, like, the only kind of positives to sort of take out of that situation was, like, McCluggage is pretty handy in the first quarter. Him almost as, like, a resting forward worked to a degree.
It was strange.
Yeah, but then you've got to also wonder, like, why is he resting forward if he's not really spending all that much time in the midfield to cover for Ash? Like, it was weird. It was like, more the focus was like, he's resting forward now. It's like, why isn't he playing in the midfield in the first quarter when he's been our best player? And where we've just lost one of our, like, main midfielders. Like, what?
Yeah, I don't know. Zorko started in the center, which was very strange. And then, you know, it was kind of nice to see him go head-to-head with Took at the very first center bounce that didn't really last. And obviously there's been another incident which will, I don't know, garner some sort of interest for a little bit, but it's just Zorko carrying on like he does.
Yeah, I think I asked a question last week of, like, you know, to a response to the idea of, like, well, with Zorko, you got to take the good with the bad. I'm like, well, why?
Yeah.
Just don't have the bad. Just keep your mouth shut. And although in this instance, no one likes being grabbed by the balls, and although it looked like it was there, I don't really know whether it was intentional and, you know, pretty quick game. So, plus, also, I don't think Zorko really has the leg to stand on.
No, sir. No, sir.
So, anyway, we'll move on from that.
I mean, just quickly, I know we will move on from it, but a nice little metaphor from Toot Miller. He literally grabbed the game by the balls and led that team to a victory. So, maybe it was all part of the whole thing. But, yeah, Coleman did all right. Archie didn't necessarily back up his heroics from last week, but he put in a relatively okay game. Leicester had his moments, but other than that, it's slim bloody pickings.
We picked apart across the field. It was sort of interesting, particularly in the second quarter, like, their work rate was just killing us. And I know there was sort of vision of they showed Took Miller running and, like, Lockie Neal not following and whatever. And it's sort of like that was less stark than the idea of just, like, the zone wasn't really working at all. No one was moving, like, 5 meters away from where their guy was going, and they were just sort of picking kicks and stuff like that and just running through it. We've had difficulty with teams that have run the ball, particularly Hawthorn and Port Adelaide, where they've just made us look second rate. So that's a problem.
Yep. That, and any time, like, a team gets really physical with us, we do tend to fold. And Gold Coast certainly were up for the fight and wanted to get in our face. And, you know, there it goes.
So when you're sitting there going in at halftime, what do you say? We're 3 points down.
Yeah, crazy.
3 points down at halftime, and you're getting absolutely toweled in probably every metric of the game. Nothing's working. You've played this kind of mercurial but kind of weirdly useless key forward back into the game. What do you change? Would your answer be A, something, B, quite a few things, or C, nothing? Which one do you pick, Brooksy?
I'd at least opt for quite a few things.
Well, they changed nothing.
Yeah. By the time they did do something with Anderson, it was way too late. The damage was done. By the time they moved Harris off Ben King, he'd already kicked 5.5 goals. The damage was already done. Eventually, Payne went to him and sort of the supply dried up a little bit for him. But like I said, the damage was done. He'd already been played into form. Anderson was just... like, his ball use was exceptional, and his, you know, his fight. It looked like the only sort of effort we put in was to Matt Rowell.
Yeah, and that was sort of Dunkley mainly going head to head with him for the first couple of quarters.
Yeah.
And even then, Rowell had, like, somehow he managed to have quite a lot of impact around the stoppage. So that's sort of, I guess, where you look at it and go, well, he had, like, some pretty direct, like, score assists, and he kicked that goal, and it's just like, okay, maybe he isn't quite... Like, I know he clamped him pretty hard in the first game, but also Miller wasn't there, so...
It's interesting. Like, I know that Fags and maybe a couple of players along the journey of the year have mentioned that Redeem Team documentary and how that's sort of been their inspiration for this year and that whole team defense thing, which, by the way, completely absent on the weekend after a pretty good showing against the Cats the week before. I actually went out of my way to watch that Redeem Team doco throughout the week. Just, I don't know.
What the hell is that?
It's on Netflix. It's the... I guess the source of inspiration they used in the off season, because the US Olympic basketball team, they sort of obviously they go in heavy favorites every year to win a gold medal. They got done in 2004, and then there was a World Cup in 2006 where they got done as well by teams that sort of picked them apart, and then they sort of made a few changes around, you know, got a couple of players, and they all sort of bought into that team defense to show what they were really capable of. And I guess it's sort of, there's a few parallels between that and the Lions, who have, you know, obviously had the list to contend, but have bowed out in semis, prelim, finals, and obviously Fags identified last season that the team defense is what let us down. So that's sort of been like I said, the inspiration behind this year, the sort of the theme or what have you. So I went and watched that throughout the week, and I can definitely see the parallels, but like none of that sort of fight or anything that, you know, was evident in the documentary was evident in the way we put together a game of football on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched it, and just looking at that, I'm kind of like, oh, well, good luck tagging Kobe and LeBron in the same team, but I don't know. I don't really understand how basketball works in terms of that sort of sense, but unless you're Dennis Rodman, who probably could tag an underpass from a different city. So, it's just frustrating, like doing nothing. I guess the idea probably, or the, you know, the thought was like, you know, go head to head with them, but, you know, ultimately, it almost seemed like Anderson was just ghosting around the field with no check. And it's like, just put Barry with him everywhere he goes. If you're going to treat that, like pull the trigger on that more often, because like we saw them try to do that with Dangerfield in the last quarter of last game. But like, you know, trying to getting told to do something like when you haven't done it in a while is kind of a little bit difficult. So maybe you want to like work one of your like good taggers who we know can tag, even what he did early in his career, and then obviously like the back end of last year, but like let them do it more often.
Yeah,
but yeah, the youth in the team, the lack of impact off the sub bench
once again was left too late,
but also we just struggled to stand up with the toughness. Like I think in the first quarter, like Jack Payne got a bit of body put on him and didn't kind of look right after that. It's just he got, like, whether it was a corky or just some body on his front, and it's like a bit of mongrel.
Yeah,
is kind of good. You don't have to wear a dinner suit when you're playing, dude. It's just so flaccid.
Yeah.
said that before this year, but it's just like, what can you say?
I mean, nothing that hasn't been said in, you know, various episodes across the year. You know, like you said, the Port, the Hawthorn game, not so much the game against Adelaide, but just those ones that stick out where you're like, why do I even bother anymore? Why do I invest so much, you know, emotionally into this team when they just pull this one out every now and then to let me down in a big way? And then the kicker, wake up this morning to see a notification from CommBank. Oh, by the way, the Lions have taken out their monthly membership fee. Oh, thanks.
Did they?
Didn't want to give me at least a couple of days before you kick me in the face and then spit on my crotch a couple of days later with, oh, by the way, you're paying for that. Yeah, just so you know, you're paying for that. Like, oh, thank you.
If you've got a mate that loves the Lions, tell them to get the podcast into their ear holes.
Like, I don't even really know anything else that happened in that game because it was just so generally unpleasant.
It really was. It really was. And the two's not much better.
Tell me.
Well, kicked the first 7 goals, ripper. Then the Suns piled on the next 11. And then we sort of made a little bit of a mini comeback in the last quarter where we kicked, I think, maybe 3 or 4 goals, but it was too little too late. Suns kicked another 2 and walked away with a 3-goal win. Dev Robb had a day out, though, 34 touches and a goal. Jackson Pryor did all right, 26-1. Reese, 25. Yeah, Fullerton kicked a couple of goals, as did Darcy Fort, who I'll get back to Darcy Fort a little bit later in the show.
Yeah, no, that was a bit of an absolute yeah. turn of the ages between now and last week. It'd be great to have someone come in and play some midfield minutes, hey?
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder who that could possibly be.
Yeah, well, we identified who we thought it probably should be.
Yeah.
Kyle Lohman was spending more time around the contest and stuff like that, and it just didn't really... There was just very minimal impact.
I think you'll find Kyle Lohman or Jasper Fletcher. Depends. You know, Kelly Underwood is... Feel free to call him whatever she likes.
The man of many names, Grug. I thought his name was Grug.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bit of a shame because it was like... She did butcher it, calling Fletcher, like... On what we noticed, like, just a really cool shot, because it's very infrequent that you do get a player running with the ball towards the camera in like kind of like some sort of weird like film noir type thing, and it's like, here goes Fletcher, and you're like, a poor guy, like, he probably won't want to watch that back, but like, it was actually a real cool shot with now terrible audio.
Congrats to him though, kicked his first goal in AFL, so that's something.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're kind of wondering, did he really want that 50 meter penalty? Or would he rather have saved it for the future, should there be future? Who knows? The twos got beaten. The ones got beaten. Josh Drummond got some mention.
Yeah, he did.
One of the people on the commentary team stole my awful, awful joke from last week and got more laughs from it. So
yeah, the human soundboard, bloody Dwayne Russell liked that one.
Yeah, because he's got, like, I don't know. I was expecting crickets last week, I got to say. Like, you kind of failed me there. Would have been funny. I'm giving you certain liability to do that to some of the insane things that I do say.
Okay.
Within reason. but yeah, not too much to kind of go off for the rest of the day. It seemed all around, I just had bad coaching and arrogant written down. And I guess we kind of come to the coaching.
Yeah. I mean, just quickly, Darcy Ford obviously signed a 2-year deal with the Lions after last week. I said, the writing's on the wall that Darcy Ford's on the way out the door if we're re-signing Henry Smith. How wrong I was. What do I know? Great to have Fordy stick around for another couple of years and shake off some rival interest. One of Fags's worst day outs in terms of coaching from beginning to end.
Yeah, not good. Selection was weak and didn't make a statement. Obviously, the team didn't turn up, and no changes were made. Like, there's just nothing shifted. So you got to kind of wonder why. And like, it's just him talking after half time and saying like, oh, you know, we just got to tighten up a few things. It's like, dude, change something. Like,
yeah,
you know, you can't just expect things to be given to you in like a pretty hot game. And like, when a team, like, you know, anything we've seen, we've spoken about it. Anywhere from even like, you know, we got butchered by Hawthorn, which is hilarious in kind of context, but like any team from 15th to top can beat the other teams at the moment. Like this game is pretty wild and this season is pretty wild. It's like, you can't just be like, oh yeah, we'll just do it and it'll be right. It's like, nah, you gotta like clamp this dude, get this guy free, like stop faffing about with Lachie Neal, like, and his tag, take him, like run him forward. Play him as a small forward. Get him out of there. Like, but yeah, the fear's there. Oh, okay, so then you're taking two of them out of the midfield. It's like, yeah, just do what you got to do. Don't do nothing and expect things. So not a lot to kind of tactically analyze out of that either.
No, because there arguably were none.
Yeah, well, it was the old insanity trope just going again. So I don't know.
I mean, the
Fremantle have played themselves into form next week. And who would have thought that, like, Luke Jackson would play significantly better when they only had one ruckman? So
crazy.
Go figure. Even though the best ruckman isn't there. Oh, we got a bit of a bath.
Did he spend less ruck contests as well? I sort of noticed Joe taking a few more than I normally would.
I think he was probably just struggling with his ankle because he was off for most of the last quarter.
He's had a big year.
Yeah, he has. And, you know, maybe we could see Fort travel this week. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind giving Oscar a week or two rest when we can, because he's like, been an absolute workhorse all year, you know, taking the number one ruck role. So we need him cherry ripe if we can. if we're to do anything in September. Obviously, one of the biggest talking points to come out of this whole round is another opportunity squandered to get that top two spot with Port dropping their third game in a row. We lost 5 percentage points, and now Melbourne is less than 1% away from us in fourth position, and they play North Melbourne this week, so their chance to really get ahead and then drop us down to fourth positions. Thankfully, we've still got a couple of games on, you know, St Kilda and GWS, but yeah, a real opportunity squandered there in that respect. Even though Fag says, oh, I don't talk to them about top two, I was like, well, maybe you should.
Yeah, because I think, like, if they're just thinking they're just playing each game, like, there is a greater thing. You don't talk about not winning a premiership. Like,
yeah,
everyone knows why they're there. Like, incorporate it, bring it in. Like, don't hide from these sorts of things. Like, we've seen the team have kind of buckled under high pressure situations consistently over the past few years. Bring that into the planning, because if you're noticing that, like, if you're not bringing it up but they're still buckling, maybe bring it up.
Get in touch anytime. Shoot us an email at blfancast@gmail.com or join the Discord.
Votes? You got some votes?
No, I don't.
Okay, well, Took Anderson King for me.
Yeah, I mean, the lads from Gold Coast, yeah, they get the votes.
Yeah, very, very good. And that king could be either Stephen or Ben, so there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe I'll put some crickets there.
No, that was actually good. I was just being facetious. So who you got coming out?
Coming out, I think Loman comes out and Zorko. In comes Dev and Bailey.
What, so you literally have my ins from last week?
Yep.
Yeah, fair enough. Suppose I am a week ahead of you in terms of the brain capacity, but...
Oh, and Gunston. I'm taking Gunston out.
Yeah.
Barry's on thin ice as well. He's got one or two more questionable weeks before he's out of my team.
Yeah, well... who's coming in for Gunston?
I liked Rayner sort of playing that from the square forward. Like, we obviously tried him in the
middle. He's gone absolutely nowhere, hey?
Yeah.
Like, he's... Like, since Gunston's come back, he's been...
Yeah. So, I think that needs to change. Nothing. I think that needs to change. And I know there's a lot of people that sort of feel that way as well. I don't want to...
Because he was playing almost his best football.
Yeah.
And now he's not doing... Like, he's been anonymous the last, like, three games. Like,
yeah.
Absolutely anonymous. So, you can't take Gunston out and put Rayner in. Who's coming into the team, Brooksy?
I'm inclined to get someone like Harry Sharp or Jackson Pryor back in. Just to have a go.
The late season redemption of Jackson Pryor.
Yeah, don't know about that. Honestly,
I... You wouldn't go forward? Bring forward in?
No, because I think that's our problem, is going too tall.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, yeah, interesting. Interesting. I just kind of hope that in this situation, the solution isn't perceived to be like, bring in Jared Lyons and bring in Daniel Rich and that'll fix everything. Like, because it's not, like, Zorko and Loman and Gunston can...
Other options are Reese Matheson or Nakia Cockatoo, just for a real shake-up. And I know that's not going to happen, like, you know, if there's one thing I've learned about Fag, he's not going to completely shake things up this far out of finals. He's barely willing to shake things up in the middle of a game where we're getting our pants pulled down. So I can't see too much changing, unfortunately, but something does need to change.
Well, that seems pretty fair, and I can't really argue with too much of that. So, let's go with that into the next game.
Well,
just doing the...
We can go into the next game. I've also got a myriad of questions. As we do after a loss.
Oh, good. This is like your favorite bit. You're like some sadistic maths teacher or something. You're like, here we go. Time to really wind him up.
Because I know there's one in here that will especially wind you up. So,
it's like Jared Berry's like the worst thing since sliced sourdough when you cut into it and it's got holes in it.
Honestly, like, I mean, I've got my thoughts on sourdough and that's for a different podcast. But yes, no.
It's constant disappointment, hey.
Yeah.
When you're like, here's a friendly slice. Oh, I can't spread anything on it.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, the outside is way too crusty and I've cut the roof of my mouth. Thank you for this experience. Oh, $11? Oh, brilliant. Okay, let's start from the beginning. Lions Nuff on Twitter. Will we ever see this group win the cup? With a smiley but crying emoji.
Smiley but crying?
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. It's one of
I'm not like a useful person when it comes to this sort of stuff. We know that I've got one emoji and one emoji only, and it was perfect for this game. It's the melting face one.
Yeah.
Will we see this team win a cup? Not likely. Never say never, but I'm not a gambling man, but I'm not betting like this stray bit of paper. I'm not betting that.
Yeah.
I'd much rather keep that stray bit of paper.
Yeah, too unreliable. Obviously, we've all got our hopes, and like I said, this year has sort of felt different in many ways, but then things like that happen and you get reminded that, oh yeah, that's right, we are not ready and perhaps never will be. So no, they're tough to win, and there's much more consistent, reliable teams in front of us at this point. Byron Jepson, also on Twitter, what are your thoughts on Jasper getting subbed off?
Fine. Like, no, I don't think it was any sort of like bad reason. He probably just was a bit knackered after having played like a string of games as a 12-year-old or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty quiet, but there were other people quiet, like Gunston or Zorko I would have had before him.
Yeah, I guess maybe there are physiology things where it's like, you know, he's been in the red time or whatever, or like that sort of shit that I don't understand. So I'm willing to just say, eh.
Brad on Twitter as well, who was, I actually went about live tweeting this game, and it's probably, I'm not going to do it again.
You live tweeted?
Yes. I thought, you know what, this is something to try and just get the podcast out there a little bit more and engage with the listeners. And Brad was pretty good at having a chat throughout the game. He says, why does the...
Just on that though, yeah, it's funny. You're like, oh, how can we get the podcast out? I'll live tweet. I'm like, how can we get the podcast out? I'll write some articles. And man, I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah, look, I'm not exactly enjoying my choice to live tweet the game. And I'm not saying it was the reason that we lost, but the coincidence is enough for me to probably not try it again.
Anyway, Brad, we want to hear from Brad.
Yeah, he says, why does the patch of grass we play on drastically change the way we play more than any other team in the comp? After ignoring it all year, I finally concede that we are only good at the Gabba, in brackets mostly. He then followed up with a separate tweet saying, I regret everything.
Pretty dark, isn't it? Do you reckon he regrets the tweet preceding it directly? Which is like, you know, more so on the money, or like, is that not covered? What are the bounds and the realms of the regret here?
Well, it says everything. But that could be in response to me saying that we're going to regret soliciting for questions.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Well, yeah, hopefully he doesn't have like kids or a wife or a dog or like any kind of responsibility, because I feel kind of aggrieved for them. Yeah, regret. I mean,
so it's basically we can't play away from the Gabba, and he's starting to come around to the idea that we are home ground heroes, and that, you know, any time we play away from the Gabba that we do fold, and that's what I mean, like, at the end of the day, that's where we put in our performances like that. We're 9-0 at the Gabba so far.
It's worrisome when you look at the remaining five fixtures and we're like, three away,
yep,
two at home. Particularly when, I don't know, but have you noticed watching the various footy shows across the traps when they like have been putting up teams' remaining final games? And like every Victorian club is just like MCG, Marvel, 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 MCG. And you're like, or they have to travel once.
Yeah. Well, I mean, largely it's because they have to play other Melbourne-based teams, I suppose.
Yeah, but it's do you reckon they stack the end of the season to just get them all so they barely have to travel and you get a lot of interstate teams playing interstate teams?
I don't know what sort of level of thought goes into it. Maybe they're just trying to organise big attendance crowds towards the back end of the season. Honestly, I've got no idea. I'm sure there's...
But if we have no idea about it, then, and you'd think that we might have an idea about it, but it's going over our heads, maybe it's a big conspirator.
Maybe. I've never claimed to have any idea about anything, though, so...
Yeah, no. I just it's funny. Every time it's like, oh, you know, Carlton's last five games, it's like, okay, they're not having to leave? Yeah, weird. But I suppose fair enough. Whatever. Who gives a shit? Next question.
Fantasy Record on Twitter. What's the pass mark required from here to avoid some considerable changes? I feel like it still has to be a grand final, but now we're trying to miss top two. That's going to be a hard ask. And I don't know if considerable changes is referring to sort of coaching, off-field sort of restructuring, whether it's senior or assistant coaches, or if it is list changes.
My thought immediately went to like beheading in the square. Like,
sure. It's definitely a change.
I mean, lack of head is a change. Yeah, it's frustrating though, because it's kind of like, because we finished sixth last year, it's sort of like, oh, okay, well, if we finish fourth, it's technically an improvement. It's like, it's not, because we butchered that. Like, can we just stop butchering stuff? Like, are they believing their own hype in that, like, oh, yeah, this team will be there or thereabouts in finals, and what they do in finals will dictate their season? It's like, you still got to play the season. You can't just coast. I don't know. Don't know.
It would feel like a bit of a waste if we didn't take the next step and move on from a prelim. It'd be even worse if we go out in straight sets again, but...
Oh, God. Honestly. Well, it's weird because you kind of like, what's the pass mark for a kid that speaks English and then goes to bed and then speaks Spanish the following day? Like, you can't grade them. Like, it doesn't work. So, like, I feel like that's what we're dealing with, some sort of weird neurotic... amnesiac kind of thing, like blob, and we're trying to grade it. So I don't know.
Make sure you follow us on socials. Just search for BL Fancast.
Next question.
All right, Loz, who is a regular contributor. So thanks, Loz, for listening each week and getting involved. She says, not enough characters available for the moment of questions I have after that debacle. But are we flat track bullies? So similar. Feel like we just look to the bloke beside us when the chips are down instead of playing our role and grinding it out. I've had enough of the, in quotes, reality checks.
Yeah, well written.
Mm.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
I guess the one sort of question I have there is, if we are flat track bullies, then we put away Gold Coast, because that's what a flat track bully does, is just, you know, beat up on the
teams.
Well,
I mean, flat track, home track, home, whatever, you know. Yeah, I think I kind of amended the flat track to home track. Because, to be honest, being a flat track bully in this economy is not great.
Yeah.
There's only two teams you can really pummel, and they were pummeling each other in, like, the bum fight of the century.
It was a good game in the end.
Yeah, it was weird. It's just, like, consistently our sort of, like... I spoke about leadership last week, and just, like, there just seems to be not that much leadership. Tangible leadership. So
you look on the other side though, and Tuke like led that team, and he had other people follow him as well. He said after the game in the post match interview that it was good to see other blokes around him, and even the younger guys, like, really get into it and feel the sort of heat of the Q clash and bring it up to us. Whereas, yeah, as Loz pointed out, we sort of look to the bloke next to us instead of taking any responsibility. And the way Tuke was, he's two way running. You know, not only was he shutting down Neil, he got 29 touches of his own, and Lockie was just not prepared to do the same.
Yeah, and it's pretty weird because he's been largely anonymous since he's been back. Like, I don't know, just played a lot of their guys into form, or they played themselves into form off of work, right? So, fair play to them, bad play to us. Yeah, get them in counselling, all of them. Leadership counselling, believe in yourself, but also believe in yourself in a way that's realistic based on what you have.
Yes. Deshaun, and we sort of touched on this one also on Twitter, I feel we play better when we have just the two forwards. Gunston isn't providing what we need and is not bringing much, if any, defensive pressure and not really hitting the scoreboard. Do you think we should go back with the two tall forwards and bring in another small? Yes, I do, Deshaun. I sort of touched on that when we made our changes. And I don't know, something about Nekia Cockatoo that I think, give him a go. Like, he can definitely bring some X factor in that forward line and would bring defensive pressure. I don't know why his name's screaming out to me. It just is.
Yeah, I think I've kind of been converted away from, like, just kill them all, I say. Let God decide.
Sure. Ryan on Twitter as well, what is plan B when Neil is locked down? Well, according to The Weekend, Ryan... there is
nothing.
Yeah, there is no plan B.
It's for him to stop and let the other guy still impact, and then have the other two guys impact as well. So, yeah, nothing.
I think, you know, and in any team that's about to play us in the next couple of weeks would have watched that and gone, well, oh, the old adage of no Lachie Neale, no Brisbane Lions is still true. So let's put all our work into him. Expect to see that over the next couple of weeks with teams that have got a sort of designated shutdown player.
Have they got a designated shutdown player next week?
Freo, not really sure. I know Bailey Banfield's done the job in the past. So perhaps...
I'll probably just get like, they'll probably just get like Sarong to do it and he'll like play amazing or something. I don't know.
Probably. Mark Osborne, does anyone... This is the question you're going to hate.
Okay.
And don't worry, someone else has got your back here. Mark Osborne, does anyone have a phone number for Hardwick, D? What say you?
No.
Well, that's where No Clue on Twitter says, absolutely no way, have some dignity, man. So he's on the same wavelength as you.
That to me is kind of like selling your soul to worse than Satan, like double Satan.
Dale, I've officially moved from loving Fags to blaming him. He has used his strengths to bring his side together and create a strong culture, but he just doesn't have what it takes to win a premiership. And I guess that's that sort of hard edge, that mongrel you're speaking about before. And we've sort of touched on this before. He's done, you know, his niche.
An exceptional job in his first, I think, we've talked about it like pretty heftily at length. The idea of like, he and the club and the players, I assume, did not expect them to go from bottom of the table to second on the table within the span of like 2 years.
Yeah.
So the idea, I assume, would have been a longer process with a potential transition in the middle or when the team was starting to perform better, which then would have led to Fagan possibly going to another cellar-dwelling club and then... Because I think that's probably where he gets his best work done. It's like building club culture, that sort of thing. But now it's not really working, so...
Possibly, yeah. Over to Instagram, a couple of questions there. Cold Sharp, both the ones and twos played super flat. Heavy training phase, 4 games out from the finals. Do you reckon that's to blame? Now, I don't know if Cold Sharp has some insight into the training phases and maybe that's true, that they have entered a heavy training block leading into finals, in which case there's a silver lining in there yet to show itself. But it wasn't a good week for the Lions.
Don't they traditionally want to taper to have better performance? I don't understand how training works, but I guess. I don't know.
It could be. I've got no idea. But if that's the result we're getting, it's probably not a good idea to do that.
We're too much on the knife edge here. Like, you look at it and go, okay... A training block, is it better to finish in the top two or be better prepared to play more games? Like, what?
Yeah.
Don't know.
And Paddle22, also on Instagram, do we not want 2 home finals?
No, they don't.
No, they don't. Apparently, they're not even talking about it, Paddle22. So, a non-factor, evidently.
So, like, not talking about it, still is boggling my mind, the idea.
I'm sure. I don't know if that's just sort of...
But why lie? Like,
I don't know.
It's like, okay, why does anyone do anything? Because they have motivation. And because they like, I work this horrible job or whatever because I want to get my meager paycheck. Or like, I go to this thing because it makes me happy for this reason or whatever. The world is built off of motivation. And you're saying that you just don't talk about motivation. Like, I don't believe that, or if you don't, you live in some sort of cult. And I'm not calling the coaching staff cult leaders, but if I was, then we'd be in severe litigious problems. So let's move on.
Yeah, the top two is looking more like every time we put ourselves in a position where it's there to be grabbed, it flies out the window. And there's another opportunity this week. Port Adelaide got a tough game against the Cats, and we've got, on paper, a winnable game against Fremantle. So let's see how we butcher that.
But the issue is that Melbourne are going to finish second. Yeah. Like, that's just the reality of what's going to happen now. Like, by us not closing the door against them, we've now brought them into this fight where it's now going to be... Collingwood and Melbourne top two, which is like, oh, sorry, Port, and sorry, us. Like, it's just not going to happen. You know, again, we're in a situation where, like, we played Melbourne into the form that they're in now. We obviously played Geelong out of form that we needed them to pick up so that we could pick up some games. Evidently. So, I don't know. This Hard to find some positives here.
It really is, and it is just one of those weeks. We've had a few of them this week, and as the old cliche goes, one week at a time and a week's a long time and all that sort of garbage. So hopefully we're sitting here next week in a better mood and a little bit more buoyant, only to be let down again in a couple of weeks' time. So that seems to be the cycle. Thanks, everyone that has gotten involved, whether it be Twitter, Instagram, Reddit, Discord. The Discord channel is still going for anyone that wants to join. Yeah, well, all over socials, or you can always send through an email at blfancast@gmail.com.
Like the show? Make sure to follow and subscribe on your favourite podcast platforms.
Yeah, so on to Freo. Over to Optus Stadium. They're missing, obviously, Sean Darcy, as you touched on. Nat Fyfe has been ruled out for the rest of the year. And it is they are honestly... There's plenty of teams that can fall into this category, but they are probably top of the list of teams hard to get a read on.
Yeah, well, when we played them, they were like... being patted on the back for like handballing the ball a bit.
Well, I think that in the weeks leading up, they were getting beaten and their ball movement was just disgusting to watch. Like it was chip backwards, not doing anything. It's only when they came to the Gabba, they decided, you know what, time to change this and we'll start doing a run and gun handball style. So I think that's where it came from. It's like, oh, well, at least they're trying something. They're still lost by 40 points, but at least they gave it a go. Since then, it's been up and down. Like they've gone to the MCG and beaten Melbourne, but then lost like a bunch of their home games, and then they've gone down to GMHBA and beaten Geelong. So, God knows what's going to happen next week. I mean, you speak about unreliable teams. Here's two of them going head to head.
Hell yeah, that should be combustible, shouldn't it?
Yep. But yeah, I think. I mean, we should win the game, but said that last week.
Should win the game, but you know, yeah. What are we doing? What are we doing? I don't know.
Where's this game buried? This Sunday afternoon job, isn't it? Yep, 4:40 Ripper. So last game of the round.
So we'll be able to see. You know, they'll in their weird cult house, cult lounge, cult plane. You know, they'll get into their vacuum sealed plane, go to their vacuum sealed training area, not hear any results, and be like, "But you could have gone second. Now you're fourth." They were like, well, we didn't know. So I got to really drop this cult narrative, don't I?
I don't love it.
Are you afraid of the cult, are you?
There's
too many negative Ergoins or whatever. Orgoins.
I don't think there's ever been like any good news synonymous with cults, I guess.
Yeah, but what good news is coming out of this team this week?
That's true. Well, yeah, that's the game that we got coming up against Freo. I don't know. Yeah, let's go win.
Try and win harder.
Yeah, make some changes. Get the
Breathing
win.
Up.
Show us that we are still not the team that everyone thinks we are. Unreliable, mentally fragile. Just can't get it.
Maybe
done.
Don't take a key magnet off the middle of the board and not put anything near it. Otherwise, we didn't get more 666. Violations for not having a player in the middle or something like that.
I think we got a warning along the...
But I mean, I was expecting it to just be like, oh, where's Ashcroft? He's not there.
According to Kelly Underwood, he was.
Was he?
Yeah. Yeah, no, she called his name. I think in relation to the Marcus Ashcroft medal, she called it the Will Ashcroft medal.
Oh, cool. Who won that, by the way? Was it Miller?
Yeah, it took.
Yeah, fair enough.
Just to rub salt in the wound, Sandy Roberts, the whole night, called me Big Jeff Brown. Jeff, did he? Oh, no.
That's enough of that. Time for a nostalgic player. And as you said to me off air, it's always your job when we get an embarrassing loss to wheel out a nostalgic player to try and give us a little bit of a lift as we head off into the week and try and forget about it.
Have we got any, like, famously angry players?
Oh, you mentioned one before in Nick Robertson.
Yeah, true. I feel like, yeah, he was pretty angry, wasn't he? I was going to go with Jamie Charman. He loved to charge. Got a lot of suspensions for charging.
Yeah, very physical ruckman.
He was probably didn't quite... played to his full potential, but like a bit unlucky to miss out on the 0-2 grand final, particularly with Bo going out in the first second. Big boy, could play forward, great athlete. Got any fond memories of?
No, I just remember him, as you said, like could have been one of the competition's best ruckman, very physical ruckman. But yeah, his body sort of didn't let him get the best out of him, as happens with ruckman along the journey. But yeah, still got in that 0-3 premiership team. yeah, he was just unlucky that Clark bloody Keating was able to get himself together for September in 02.
Which I think we're all thankful for now. But wasn't the main thing was just that Bo McDonald's shoulder had come out the week before, and then they just decided to pop it back in and give it another crack, and you know, it led to a pretty good story. We were talking heading into the Fremantle again, the idea of Des Headland, and I was sort of like, oh man, he's not nostalgic, and I didn't really like him, so doesn't qualify for me. Did like Jamie Charman though, so yeah, it was always sort of like you're always checking the suspensions or the old time tribunal or MRO as it was, and just checking for those charging suspensions. I think that he has more culpability for that the old Nick Riewoldt incident than he's given credit for.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously he wasn't having a go when he was, in my opinion, fairly after he pushed the trainers away and run back in position. Old Nick Riewoldt. But he did absolutely level him about 20 seconds before he lunged for that mark. So great stuff. Good theatre. Catalyst. Loved it. That's all I can really come up with right at this point in time.
I know he sort of stuck around the club after he retired for a few whiles. For a few years in some sort of coaching capacity. And him and Brent Staker did that. Remember that Footy Fix show that used to be on the Lions website? Maybe not. Some people listening out there will remember. So yeah, that's weirdly enough one of my stronger memories of Jamie Charman was him doing Footy Fix with Brent Staker.
Goodness me, the charger and the punched together at last. it's weird because like looking at particularly the premiership lines, like you're in a position as a young kid in Brisbane. Like I've met all these people to some capacity, but I just have no recollection of any of them now in my old age. So they're just pure nostalgia for me.
Just sent you a link there of Footy Fix with Jamie Charman and Brent Staker, so you can watch that in your own time. Bit of homework for you.
Thanks, maths teacher. We had a lot of questions. We got homework. Sure, I'll be graded on my performance after the microphones go off, and you'll probably send some sort of like electric therapy shock through my microphone. let's get out of here. I can't deal with this anymore.
Yep. Yeah. That'll absolutely do us. Like I said, hopefully we'll be back next week in a much better mood. Until then, bloody see you over in Freo.
But I do want to leave you on one thing, you little beauty.